So there in Psalm 37, verse 25. Psalm 37 is also the psalm that says to delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's a lot of promises there, and we'll go over some of those when I close the actual message today. But we're talking about God provides. We're talking about learning to trust in God's faithfulness. That's really powerful, learning to trust in His faithfulness. A lot of people don't trust today. They have to learn to trust. A lot of people have been let down today. They have to learn to trust again. To understand that not everybody goes around lying. Not everyone goes around trying to discourage people. God never discourages us. He highly encourages us every day. We see in this one graphic that I've got today, this kind of broken down, the scripture, which I'll read in just a moment, where he says that I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. So you see it all broke down here in kind of a modern looking graphic that kind of speaks to our heart. David is talking about some things here today that are very important that apply to our lives today. And as we see the scripture up on the screen, you'll see that it basically, he's talking about provision here. He's never seen the righteous forsaken. The righteous means those that are in right standing with God. Nor his descendants, generation to generation that he has watched, begging bread. In other words, he's saying, if you live right before God, He's going to bless you. He'll never forsake you. And He'll make sure that your children's 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 children will always be blessed and cared for. They're not going to be begging bread. They're not going to be there without. They're going to be provided for. You know, and I know a lot of people today don't want to believe that God provides, but He does. He provides miraculously for us. He provides healing for our body. He provides wisdom for our minds. He provides faith in our life. He provides protection over us. He's there for us at all times. He's a God who cares. He's the one true God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. All things were created by Him, in Him, and through Him. We have to understand that we know Him by His word, and we know Him by our life every day. And we have to understand that David wrote the Psalm 37 in his mature years. He was an older person at this point. If you study David's life, he was around 13 years old when he was anointed to be the king of Israel. Anointed. And then he went into obscurity for a while, where he spent time out there in the pastures as a shepherd boy, taking care of the sheep and stopping the bears from killing the sheep and the lions from destroying the sheep. And he was someone who was sold out to God. He wasn't walking around thinking, I'm special. I'm somebody that's really great. Matter of fact, he was the last choice of all the brothers of the sons of Jesse. He was the last one, the youngest. It should have been the oldest. Is the youngest. And he gets anointed by Samuel the prophet. And that psalm this morning that my wife read is about David being anointed. It's about this whole area of unity and the blessing that God wants to put into our life. And so we have to see that the promises of God are sure and steadfast. Every promise that you've ever heard from God is sure and steadfast. They stand strong through every storm of life. Your life circumstances may define your life as not being successful or even provided for. That's what it may look like from the outside, from other people. But that is not the true definition of your life. Struggles come. Storms rise up. Clouds thunder. The earth shakes. But that doesn't define who you are in God. That does not define what he has for you and his promises in your life. Don't let the enemy of our soul, don't let your own mind be deteriorated by things that you see or your ears, what they hear, to take you from believing and trusting in what God has for you. Your life is defined by your faith in God. Your faith is the key to your living above your circumstances. You can live below your circumstances every day if you want, and they'll crush you if you're not careful. But you can have faith to live above your circumstances. Above them. Don't let your circumstances dictate your destiny. God's word dictates your destiny, what he's promised for you. And your faith gives you the strength to live above those circumstances. There's tough times that have come to people. Unwarranted things that have attacked individuals' lives and families' lives and brought crippling thoughts and effects that has stained and tarnished and bruised the ability to praise with great joy and adoration. That's only because the circumstances are weighing down. But you know, if you're trying to push up the circumstance, just stand away from it. Stand aside and raise up your hands. Live above your circumstances and know that God has your every thought, every step in control. Everything about you, he has in control. Compare the immediate and the transient. In other words, compare your immediate difficulty and the transient area of that difficulty. It will pass. The immediate circumstances, they will pass. When you compare them in the terms of the ultimate and the eternal. What marvelous area that we have in our life when we realize the ultimate is us being blessed of God forever in heaven. The eternal means that there is no time involved with that. We're so locked into time that no matter what goes on in our life, we think everything is in a time capsule. But with God, there never has been time. Eternity means that there is no time involved. There's no beginning and there's no end. We're going to step into God's eternal promise. That's the ultimate for us. Praise God. I am so looking forward to the ultimate. I'm so looking forward to the eternal that the circumstances or the immediate difficulties, and you know that every pastor carries a lot of burdens. If you didn't know that, you know it now. And do you know that you also carry burdens? If you didn't think your neighbor does, they do. Not everybody wears a sign when they come to church. Hi, I'm burdened, don't talk to me. Not everybody puts a double-sided sign when they come at you. They're saying, I'm burdened, don't talk to me. When you walk by them, they say, why didn't you pray for me? No, not everybody's going to be all bummed out. But inside, they're carrying a load, a burden. Something is going on that's deeply affecting their ability to serve or their ability to praise. And that is the importance of the immediate. But it's transient. It will end. I want to repeat that again. It will end. It'll go away. It'll happen. Cities are transient, such as Santa Cruz or San Diego, where they have, you know, a naval base and universities. Santa Cruz, where they have universities and people coming in there to live and leave immediately. It's a transient area. Not everybody stays. Your problem is like those people. Not everybody stays. They're going to hang out for a while, but then they're going to go away. Because God's got your future. If God has spoken to your life about something, let me tell you something. He has not changed His mind. Your faith is the key to that. It's believing that. No matter what it looks like, folks, this isn't who I am. Who I am is in God. And what God has promised me is going to be mine. Caleb came 85 years old. He looked at the mountain and said, 45 years ago, I was promised that mountain over there. And today, after 45 years of fighting and battles, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. I am now 85. Give me my mountain. Don't give up, folks. Don't give up. Don't ever say, I give in, give out, or give up. Always press on towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keeping your minds stayed upon the Lord that you'll be in perfect peace. Setting your minds on things above and not on things of the earth. Putting yourself in the place where God wants you to be. And no matter what the struggle is, it does not define you. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. We have to understand a grain of sand becomes a large obstacle when viewed through the eyes of fear and doubt. You know, I was driving down the road the other day in the freeway, just praying and heading somewhere. I go so many places, I don't try to remember exactly where I've been, but ministry is always every day. I was just thinking about that grain of sand that I just said and how we're so capable of taking a magnifying glass and putting it on the grain of sand and making it larger than it is. And that's our doubts and our fears. That's our magnifying glass. That grain of sand becomes so big, it is not any bigger than a grain of sand when compared to what God has for you. It's not. Whatever you're going through today, by the sound of my voice, whoever may listen to this in the near future when it's up on the digital area of podcasts, let me tell you something. Your grain of sand is just what it is. It's a grain of sand. If you have faith, you'll see it as such. But if you have fear and doubt and worry and you're overly concerned and the circumstances have got you so weighed down that you can't even praise God, that's because you're doubting who God is. Your problems are not too big that God can't handle them. Amen. He can take care of everything. Amen. Amen. He can bless you. He'll care for you. He'll heal you. He'll build relationships. He knows what He's doing. It's His time in our time. It's His eternal way of doing things, reaching into our time. He doesn't have a time schedule. We do. But His timing is always better than ours. Always. He will bless. He'll take care. Faith opens your eyes to the ultimate plan God has for His church. The eternal plan for His church. Faith allows you to see what God's plan is. What is God's plan for your life? Think about it. What is God's plan? What is your speech? Do you have faith speech or fear speech? Do you have doubting speech or encouraging speech? Do you have an ability to say, this is what I truly believe? No matter what it looks like, I believe God said this. My speech says God is going to bring conquering areas in my life. God is going to lift me above the mountain. God's going to get me across the water. But as long as you stand on the river's edge and don't put your feet in the water, that water's going to flow. Amen. I think it's marvelous what God did and what He wants to do for your life. I think it's wonderful that you have a faith speech. I believe that God can do everything. I believe that God will heal me. I believe God will take care of this circumstance that I wake up to every morning and seems to greet me when I open up my eyes. I believe that I'm not going to pay any more attention to it in the effect that I'm not going to be irresponsible, but I'm going to be the effect that this circumstance is not going to dictate my relationship with God and what I believe and who He is in my life. He hasn't changed. He never does, by the way. We change like the wind. But God never changes. His word never changes. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. And it also knows the very thoughts, the intents of our heart. God's word does not allow for doubt. It allows for great faith in your life. Well, Pastor, how can I get this great faith that you always talk about and you seem to live? It's not a seem, I do, but I know people think I seemingly do it, but I do live this faith. How do you do this? Because I pray. I spend time with the one who made this all work. The one who saved our souls. The one who died for us. The one who's forever interceding for us. Praise God. The one who's able to save all those who come to God through Him. I pray. I just speak to Him. I declare my love and my belief and my trust in Him. If I've got a sickness, He healeth all my diseases. He sent forth His word and healed all their diseases. He is the God who heals. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you something right now. God said He heals. I said, God, you heal me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've been up for two nights with my face being hurt. I'm preaching. It's not there now, you see. God knows what to do. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you right now. God heals. You know, it's a funny thing. I was watching these girls dance today, and this one is a teenager, and she's up there dancing, and, you know, it's just fantastic to see her dance. Praise God for her. And then I look over here, and I see this lady over here who just refuses to believe that this sickness that the devil has seemingly put upon her is going to keep her from worshiping God. Praise God. Amen. Come on now. Amen. It's faith. It's believing God. It's having faith. It's knowing that God has an eternal plan for your life. Amen. Men's plans fail. God's plans do not. God's promised provision. Wow. What is it for your life that God's promised? What is it that you know that it's yours? You own it. God gave it to you. Amen. Amen. God can take care of it. Hallelujah. God provides. He really does. He provides for you and I. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Genesis 22. I'm just going to say right away that Abraham came. Isaac was with him. Abraham said to his servants, stay here with the gear and the donkeys. My son and I will return in a bit. He was sent there to slay Isaac. And in the moment of time where the knife was about to cut Isaac on that altar, God said, stop. And what was over there in the thicket? A ram. Rams don't go that high, by the way, if you study it out. Rams never go that high up in Mount Moriah where it was. But God put a ram there. Somebody turn left and right. Somebody look into your spirit. There's a ram there for you. There's a ram in your thicket. You have to understand that God is there. He's ready to provide for you. He provided manna in the desert, Exodus 16. They didn't know what to think. All they said, we're going to name it manna. What does manna mean? What is it? God's got a what is it for you. Believe me. God has a what is it for you. in your life. God has that for you because he hasn't given up on you. He provided water and meat for Elijah, who was totally depressed, by the way. He was so depressed, he told God, you might as well just kill me. I'm no better than my fathers. Kill me right now. I mean, I just called down a bunch of rain from heaven and water, fire from heaven, and in a time where water was the most important thing to be used at that time, and we saturated it, and we ate up all the water. I just killed all these prophets of Baal. I did all these miracles. God, you did, man, I mean, I was anointed, praise God, would you kill me? I'm depressed now. Human beings are really fickle. One moment we're calling down fire. One moment we're showing the power of God. We're slaying devils left and right. Next moment, how you doing? I'm going to the doctor and I'm getting medicine for depression. And I'm going to eat the whole bottle at once. And that probably won't help. Nothing ever works for me. What were you doing the other day? I called down fire from heaven. It was wonderful. God showed up. I laid hands on the sick and they were healed. I just slayed a bunch of devils. I bet it was fantastic. But today, talk to the hand. I'm depressed. But you know what God did? God said all you need is rest. So maybe if you're struggling with something today, maybe all you need is rest. Maybe you need, you know what I like about God? He didn't all of a sudden send all this kind of stuff, you know, big chariots down there, you know, put a little band, have a little worship service going on, you know, send by a great evangelist to, you know, to speak and to lay hands on him and all this other stuff. Come out, you spirit of depression. He didn't do all that stuff. I love God. You know what he did? He knows what we like. Food. All you could eat. All you could drink when there wasn't the water. Now remember, there was in a drought time when it wasn't there. Water, and you got a raven bringing it to you. Come on now, folks. What a graphic that is, huh? I wonder how much he tipped the raven at the end of the thing. But what I'm trying to say to you is that God took care of rest and nourishment. Rest and nourishment. Rest and nourishment. God took care of that. He provided oil for the widow. 1 Kings 4, she was about to lose her sons. Dad was gone. The prophet in the school that learned under the prophet Elijah. He's gone. He's dead. I have no money. They're coming to get my kids. They're going to use them in slavery till my debt's paid. And the prophet says, what do you want me to do? I love that guy when he said that. I love it. He said, what do you do? Why don't you take care of this yourself? You were married to a prophet. You should have this together. So he finally says, oh, well, I'm sure he went in his mind. He said, I was a little too rough there. You know, prophets are always rough. I'm a little too rough there. I think I'm just going to hold back. Said, all right, this is what I want you to do. Go get a bunch of vessels, bring them in, and take the oil, what you have, and begin to fill those vessels. So she goes in. The door's closed to the house. All of a sudden, oil's filling up. Enough oil to take care of the debt and then to have more to live on. Praise God. Talk about a circumstance. Amen. Lost her husband as a prophet, a well-known guy, and really had it together. He's dead. Sons are going to be gone into slavery now to pay a debt. The prophet she went to said, what's wrong with you? What do you want me to do about it? He goes, oh my gosh. Got to turn down my prophet valve a little bit here and get this thing going. He said, okay, do this. And he does it, and she does it, and there's a miracle of provision. He provided wine for the wedding. The best wine for the last. Because his mother simply said, would you do this? He wasn't ready for public ministry yet. But he loved his mother enough to do it. He took old, filthy, dirty foot washing water where people had put the foot in to wash off. In those days, they didn't have gold-toed socks and shoes and, you know, all this fancy, you know, shoes that I see come in this church sometimes. You know, I'm just wondering where they make those things, you know. You know, but anyhow, I have all that. He didn't have any, he didn't have that, that dirty old foot water. He said, fill it up, the gallons of that water. And he fills it up and they take it in there and it's the best wine. They said, why have you saved the best for last? Usually the first wine is the best. And when everybody gets so drunk, they can't notice how bad the wine is. But I'm telling you right now that it was the best wine, he did this out of what didn't seem to be able to make wine. You're in here today and you're thinking to yourself, I don't have anything in me that could ever become good because of my circumstances and what's going on. My life's in a really bad place right now. God's about to make wine in you. God is about to make wine in you. I don't know what's holding back a shout in this place today, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Because the word's going in there, praise God, amen. The word's going in there. When you become wine and you start to shout, this is what I'm going to say to you. You should have shouted that day. Amen, praise God. I wouldn't have really done that. But he provided bread and fish for the hungry, Matthew 14. 5,000 folks hungry. The disciples, oh, what faith they had. Send them away. Let's take care of ourselves. Sounds like church folks to me. Send them away. We're going to take care of our own stuff. I'm a little evangelistic today, aren't I?
Yeah.
That's okay. You love me? I love you guys. Amen. And Jesus found a boy's lunch and took what little they had and fed 5,000, and there were 12 baskets left over. Come on, folks. What little do you have that you think you can't do anything with? Amen. All you need is a little spark of desire. A willingness to go and try. It's all you need. Praise God. Amen. You see, don't let people say you can't because God says you can. Hallelujah. Praise God. He will supply all your need. Philippians 4:19. Wow. I'll supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's going to supply all your need. What are you without today? What is it that you don't have today? God can supply all your need. He'll do it without any problem. I love this one. He'll open the windows of heaven on you and pour out to you blessings that you cannot contain. Malachi 3:10 through 12 and Luke 6:38. He'll do it. Amen. When you believe, somebody said, I don't have enough to ever give. I like the little widow woman who came and gave all she had, just two denarii, I think it was, or two mites, something like that. It was a couple pennies. That's all. Everybody else came up and threw their big, you know, look at me, look how much I tithe. Man, I'm the biggest tither in the church. Check me out. Huh? Look, where's my fat wallet? Oh, I left it in my fat office. Let me tell you something right now. I got all this happening. Oh, man, I am a tithing machine. Praise God. This little old woman walked up there, man, put all she had in there. And Jesus said, she's more blessed than those doing all that they say they can do. She gave everything she had. And sometimes when you're under the circumstances of what's going on in your life and you don't know what's happening, you find yourself having little. He is a provider spiritually, physically, and emotionally. When you give, that's what He does. He provides spiritually for you, physically, and emotionally. Amen. Praise God. I mean, it's just like that. I mean, it's just how it is. God wants you to be that person that says, no matter what it looks like, I know God has it in control. Let me see through what God sees me as. God sees me as great. God sees me as somebody who's really cool. God sees me as a person that can and will and is a victor. God sees me as somebody who can truly gain, not lose. God sees me as that. Amen. Praise God. You know, God called me to preach. I was a hippie. What did God see in me? I was just a long-haired, tattooed hippie. And God says, I like him. I can use that guy. He knows what to do. He can communicate. He's committed at what he does. Amen. Praise God. And the devil came after me right after I gave my heart to the Lord. When I gave up all my businesses, my illegal businesses, Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars I wasn't going to make anymore. We were broke. We had people bringing us groceries to our house, and they didn't even know we needed groceries. They showed up with groceries. I get phone calls from guys that were in our family saying, if you give me this number, I will give you $6,000 for the number. Will you give it to me? Please give me his number. Give me the number that you have so I can connect to this guy and I can make the money that you made. I said, no, I'm saved. He said, what? I said, yeah, I'm saved. See what I'm trying to say to you? I'm not preaching like I came out of the womb speaking in tongues and shouting victory. And I've got 14 preachers behind me as family members and everything. And I got it all down, praise God. Every day I wake up thinking, okay, God, I trust who you said I was 43 years ago. Right. Amen. Right. Praise God. What about you? Who are you in God? Well, you just don't know, Pastor, what I've been through. Yeah, I do. Four things the Lord does for the righteous. The Lord establishes and protects the ways of the righteous. The Lord provides food for them. He loves and protects the just who do good. The righteous person speaks wisdom because of the decree of God is in his heart. It's because of what God has said in your heart, not in your mind. What has he said in your heart? The enemy attacks your mind. God guards your heart. And by his word, your mind is renewed daily by the renewing of your mind. Amen. I think it's important that we understand that your faith is the key. That opens the door for ultimate provision and eternal results. Praise God. Your faith is the key. I think it's an amazing thing that when we look at this, it all comes back to our faith. God's already said it. We have to be active about it. So I want to say to you today, what's going on in your life that's causing you to be blinded to the ram in the thicket? That's causing you to be afraid that they're coming to take everything from you? That's causing you to be depressed to where you don't even want to move forward? Everything you've ever done for God has now become in the past. What is it that you think you don't have that you can't let God use? Or what is it that you have that's so small that you don't think God can do anything with it? What is it in your life that you think is so bad and so bad and so dirty, it's just like foot washing water, that God just can't take it and touch it and make you into a wine before people, that they could drink of the Lord and know that he is good? What is it in your life that when God says to you, come and slay that promise I gave you on the altar, that you have to say, oh my gosh, here it is, God, and you slay it on the altar, you walk away instead of saying to your friends, you know what, I'm going to the altar, but me and my promise, we'll be back to see you in a few minutes. Come on now. What is it that's stopping you from believing God? I tell you, what stops anybody from believing God is fear and doubt. But I believe God today wants to take your fear and doubt and push it away from you and let the light of your faith shine through to see the promise of God.